of seek God's further help in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we turn to this, yesterday in the Houses of Parliament, there was a mass of statements, some quite contradictory. I find it a comfort when I hear such dogmatic, passionate statements to remember that they are opinions. I've come across two statements lately. The first one reads like this: there is no faster way to get yourself classed as dim than by admitting you hold a religious belief. All believing Christians are regarded as stupid, dull, eccentric, and even malevolent. Well, that is one statement. And then a second statement which I've read recently. The biggest hindrance to church growth is the lives of church members. That means you and me who call ourselves Christians. This morning, our main scripture passage is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This comes on page 1139, and please turn to it. Romans 12, 1 and 2, page 139. I hope you've got your service sheet in the hymn book. Now, it begins with the word therefore. Chapter 12 and verse 1, therefore. Romans chapters 1 to 11. Sorry, 1139. Thank you. Age is taken over. 1139. Romans chapters 1 to 11 are probably the most definitive statement of Christian truth ever written. Chapter 12 and verse 1 begins with this word therefore, and then in chapters 12 to 15, Paul sets out the implications or the outworking of those truths in practice. And these outworkings can be summarized in the word relationships. Relationships to God, relationships to ourselves, relationships to each other. And in the next 5 weeks until Advent, we shall be considering these chapters. And today we shall consider the first relationship, the basic relationship of the Christian believer to our God. This is chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is more than enough for today. And hopefully I can bring chapter 12, verses 3 to 8 in at our next breakfast service. It fits in with the portion for that day. And so today, the basis of Paul's appeal in verse 1a and verses 1b and 2 of Romans chapter 12, the appeal itself, and it is of a double nature. And so our first point, the basis of Paul's appeal. chapter 12 and verse 1, and please turn to it in your scriptures. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, and of course that includes men and women. In some of the other Bibles it says, brethren, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. The word mercy is a very frequent word in Scripture. It's a very basic word to Christian truth. At the end of chapter 11, before the doxology, in verses 30 and 32, the word mercy comes four times in just three verses. And chapters 1 to 11 give us four aspects of God's mercy. Now, what is the basic meaning of the word mercy? The basic meaning of the word mercy is help for the helpless. And I've got four aspects of this. And I'd like to compare it to a chair. A chair has four legs. And it gives us something comfortable to sit on, but from which we may get up to take action. And so, in view of God's mercy, what is God's mercy? Well, first of all, it is not sparing his own son, but giving him up for us all. God the Father sending God the Son to the earth to live and speak as he did, to die in the way he did by crucifixion, but then to rise again. And then the second aspect of God's mercy, justifying human beings like ourselves freely by faith, not by good works, but for good works, justifying us. What does justification mean? It means acquitting us of all guilt, declaring us not guilty. That's why I chose our second reading, Titus chapter 3. In verse 5, it speaks about he saved us not because of righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. And then verse 8, I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. Aspects of God's mercy: not sparing his own son, justifying us freely by faith. And then a third aspect, giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit to be with us and in us. His Spirit, according to 2 Timothy 1:7, not of fear, but of love, and of power, and of self-discipline. The gift of his Holy Spirit, just the Holy Spirit that we fearful, selfish, weak, and undisciplined people need. And then a fourth aspect, adopting us into his family, his church, to which we belong, to which we contribute, and from which we benefit. And one major benefit of Christian family members is to encourage one another. And so then, as Paul begins this very practical section of Romans, we have this appeal to Christians to live like Christians. And we have the basis for it. We have the motivation for it. God's mercy, expressed in giving his Son as our Saviour, acquitting us of our sins, counting us not guilty through the death of his Son, giving us his Holy Spirit to be with us and in us as the enabling to live for him, and adopting us into his family, his church. Friends, let us realize this fact of his mercy. Let us realize it afresh, and let us be excited by it and full of wonder about it. And then my second point, the appeal itself. What is he appealing to us to do? And it has a double nature. Verses 1b and verse 2 of our reading. It has a double nature. And the first part of it, verse 1, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Now, what does that mean? It means using our bodies. Sacrifice, using up our bodies to serve him as we live out being a Christian. Using our time, energy, strength, experience, qualifications to serve the Lord. Now, we've just sung that hymn 519, and that is why I asked you to save it. And it expresses something of what it means to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Now please turn to that hymn 519. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, that's our time, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Verse 2, hymn 519. Take my hands to help the helpless and needy. Take my feet to walk in your way. Take my voice, my lips, to speak your truth. Take my silver and my gold, our financial resources. And so it goes on. Take my will, take my heart, take my love, take myself. In summary, to use up our bodies, to live out being a Christian. And he goes on with an assessment of such activity. This is your spiritual worship. Now that is rather a strange expression. It's a metaphorical expression. It means to live appropriately. Let me use an illustration. Washington about your garden, but our garden has a number of grey squirrels. They are restless creatures. They are destructive creatures. We have a delightful hazel tree, but we don't get any hazelnuts because the squirrels squirrel them all away. That is the nature of squirrels. Now, what about swans? Sometimes we go near lakes or canals or rivers and we see swans. Now, how do swans behave? They just glide gracefully along the water. If squirrels behave like swans, they would not be squirrels. And if swans behave like squirrels, they would not be swans either. What Paul is saying here, live appropriately. Let Christians live like Christians, with our bodies and with our part of the body. And then the second part of his appeal. Verse 2, please. Verse 2. The command is starting in the middle, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Going back to the beginning of the verse, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Now, there's a paraphrase by a man called J.B. Phillips, which is quite well known. There's a paraphrase of this, which gives the meaning. Do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. One of the world's pressures is to concentrate on rights. We have a right to this. I have a right to that. The advertisers push it. You have a right to so and so. Let us rather concentrate on giving attention to our responsibilities and not to our rights. But be transformed. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How is our mind transformed? It's transformed by giving attention to God's truth in what we read and think about, especially the Bible. And so this morning, our theme, let Christians live like Christians in view of God's mercy, offering our bodies and filling our minds. Sorry, I can't read there, I'm never doing that. Offering our bodies and renewing our minds. What's the application of this to us? That we realize afresh and more fully the wonder of God's mercy. I mentioned those 4 points. I won't go over them again. That we use up our bodies in his service. And third, that we take action to renew our minds through God's truth and not allow ourselves to be overtaken by the world's thoughts and values. Let us close our service with him 1,448. May the mind of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day.